You're listening to ESPN 100.3 FM, KLRZ, La Rose, New Orleans, and the River Region.
It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
Hello, sports fans.
Well, hello there.
Local sports, national sports. The GCAT has got you covered.
Oh, you made a wise choice, my friend.
Time to tee it up and let it fly. It's the Sports Hangover with Gus Kattengill.
The NBA regular season comes to a close tonight over in the Smoothie King Center. Pels taking on the Spurs. We'll get you hyped up and ready for that one. And yes, the Saints hosted a quarterback yesterday on Airline Drive. We'll talk about that coming up next segment. John Forcade in studio with us as we're getting closer to the NFL Draft. It will be a part of our NFL Draft coverage. We'll be live at Dave and Buster's on April 26th, our first round coverage. Marlon Favorite, Brian Enola East, Mr. Forcade, all of us will have a good old time getting closer to that. A little college baseball from last night. We'll recap that, plus some top stories, including, oh boy, Glenn Big Baby Davis, just a troublemaker, right? Last month, a quarter pound of wacky tobacco, $92K in cash. You know the kind of money you carry around at SmackDown Live yesterday, Pepito. And now apparently assaulting people in the parking lot. Hey, we'll touch on all of that and more. We'll give you the guest list, but first, welcome to the midway point of your work week, which, you know, of course, is known as
Guess what day it is?
It's hump day.
Hump day! I know you can hear me. Let's get stupid.
Today's more about what that Camel Wednesday hump day is. What it is.
There he is, Shaq T, the Digital Underground head coach Sean of the Payton, letting you know that you are that much more closer to the weekend, Pepito. And for me, getting closer to some crawfish. Judging a little crawfish contest this weekend, Jason. Looking forward to it. Words of wisdom.
And to all the ladies, peace and humpiness forever.
But you didn't know I had those kind of qualifications, huh?
You need qualifications for that?
Yes. Qualifications.
You need qualifications to eat something and go, oh, this is good.
Now the folks at St. Matthew just asked if I wanted to.
Oh, that's nice of them.
It really is actually really nice of them to do that.
Yeah, they eat crawfish all day. Why not?
Mm-hmm. That's really good.
Who says no to that?
I appreciate that. No. It's going to be cool. So we'll have some fun. And looking forward to lots of chit-chat. 800-998-1003 at ESPN Radio. Nola is the way to follow us over on Twitter. And you can chime in. And we will give you a couple of questions of the day and just a bunch of different topics. And what do you think of the Saints? Maybe looking at quarterback. As we said, John Forcade's here. We're going to chat with him next segment and really get into some things looking into drafting. And something that was interesting on Golic and Wingo this morning and talking about Josh Rosen. And what was interesting about Josh Rosen and what's being said about him, he's on the cover of ESPN, the magazine. And you know, again, it's what he said, what he's done in the past. John, we briefly touched on it. We'll get a little bit more into it next segment. But you have an issue at times, too, with what Jim Mora Jr., or Jim Mora, he didn't like to be called Jr., but Jim Mora, the former head coach over at UCLA, not what he has said, but maybe what he hasn't said, or maybe what he has said about Josh Rosen.
Oh, it's great to be here with you guys today, and I know you talked about crawfish festival.
I had to turn my mic on.
There you go.
You know, you talk about crawfish eating first before we get into the Josh deal. I had to turn one down this weekend. I don't eat crawfish.
And you eat crawfish?
I was a judge for a contest.
How do you not eat crawfish?
Because I am not working my butt off for something that is to put in your mouth.
Here
it's ridiculous.
You know, that is not
a lot
of work.
That's just too much work.
How is it that much work? How is it any different? Do you eat crabs?
No, I don't.
Crab legs?
No.
No?
No.
Shrimp?
Yeah, I eat shrimp.
But they got to be peeled?
I'll peel the shrimp. It's easier.
See? No, it's not.
But I
was peeling shrimp easier.
You see the size of a shrimp compared to the size of a crawfish? I rest my case.
You see, I don't know.
It's a lot of work, man. It's a lot of work.
A lot of work. Right. It takes 2 seconds. Go ahead.
I'm not a big crawfish guy. But look, going back to like the Jim Mora and the Rosen deal is I went through sort of that in college myself. Mm-hmm. I know what it's like to have a head coach of a football team not have you back or not say things or or maybe did say things. So, you know, my take is this is, you know, don't, if you're a head coach of a football team in college, you want to help the young man that's leaving to go right. somewhere else. I mean, if you had a difference with them, that's between you and him. It should be publicly known. You know, you should always try to help out a guy. Now, look, what Rosen has done in college, it's nothing compared to what some of these other guys that we know of have done. And, you know, like I said, we'll get into all that. But Jim Moore, just stay out of it. You know, talk good about the guy. If you want to say something to the NFL's personnel people, say behind closed doors your belief. But get out, get off of it. You know, you've said what you had to say. Rosen was there. All I know is the guy showed up at every game for them. He practiced. You never heard anything about him off the field right. other than a jacuzzi in his suite like right. you and I talked about off the air. Who wouldn't in college want to have a jacuzzi and girls in the room? Didn't do anything illegal. He didn't get himself in any trouble. I can name one guy who's in the draft right now who was running away from cops stone drunk. And we all know who that was. But you ain't hearing anything about that. So, you know, college coaches need to zip it. Let these, don't talk negative about a kid who really hasn't talked. I don't think Rosen's ever said anything bad about Jim Moore.
Well, we're going to talk next segment a little bit about how players are being evaluated, right?
Right.
You know, where it comes through and everything. So we'll see how it all goes back into it because we're getting closer to the draft. And, John, I've always said this, too. You have a little of the combine, the pro days, all that's done. Now it's time for private workouts and maybe even second visits, mm-hmm. Things of that nature. And I get not frustrated, but it's crazy to think how people just forget what they saw on the football field. All of a sudden, they try to almost over-evaluate something. And it's crazy that I think we evaluate or have an expectation level of athletes that we probably wouldn't have on normal people. And they're not normal. They probably go through a lot more. Not probably. They do go mm-hmm. through a lot more and are critiqued, criticized, you know, covered a lot different. We don't have people tweeting about us in our lives and where we go eat and drink and things of that nature.
Well, I think it's getting ridiculous, Gus. You know as well as I do, every day you can open up a sports page or anything on a website, anything you want to see, all of a sudden it's the negative part. People don't want to hear how good somebody's doing. Oh, that's good. It's too good to be true. What's all the negative? Let's, you know, it's like you can't find something. Let's go find something. And it's like the little bitty thing you can go out there, you know, social media, and people want to pick up on something. And, you know, I don't know what all true and what isn't true about certain people, but they don't want to see that in the press, the good things someone has done. They want to mm-hmm. find a negative. And that's sort of what the NFL guys are doing, too. You know, the guy can play. The guy's got a great arm. The guy's 6'3", 235 pounds, got a cannon, knows this and all that. And then all of a sudden they want to dig up the bad things about him. They want to find out why we don't want to draft the kid. Excuse me, why you don't want to draft someone? If he can play and he hasn't done anything illegally off the field to get in trouble, why wouldn't you want this kid?
Right. Well, like I said, it'll be interesting to see if a lot of this happens to do it, but we were talking yesterday about it, that this could be one of those historical drafts in terms of number of quarterbacks that mm-hmm. go in the first round, and they were going back to, what, 83 was when you had three Hall of Famers in there. Do you have Hall of Famers in this draft or not? I don't know, but the success rate is something that's interesting. I want to get into next segment with you as well about quarterbacks, because since 2011, I want to remember, and I'll pull it up here in a second and show it to you, since 2011, four. Cam Newton's really the only one. I mean, you have Carson Wentz, who was good. Patrick Mahomes, like that are looking to start, to be starters. Four from 2011. It's nuts when you think about it. So the success rate of finding your quarterback is not that easy, you know, and yet teams every year move up and go do things to try to go get him.
And Gus, I believe this too, is that when somebody drafts a quarterback, or they, you know, maybe not being a first round, maybe a second, third, but when you do draft a quarterback, some of these people don't give them a chance long enough. I mean, look at what the Jets have done 2 years, the last couple of years now. They drafted quarterbacks. I don't really believe that they've given these guys an opportunity, the Penn State kid or the Baylor kid. that were pretty good in college, they never really got an opportunity in the NFL because they were like on a short leash. It's like, go out there and do great right now. And then you got Baltimore Ravens who are going to bring back a guy who nobody in the league really thinks he can play, RG3. They're going to bring him back after sitting out a year. And then there's other guys out there. But I think the problem with quarterbacks is, compared to other positions, man, if you're not winning right now, you're not doing great things right that minute, they're going to go after another guy the following year. I mean, it's not, you don't see that with DBs and cornerbacks and receivers. They give them a little more time. Quarterbacks, you got to give them time. And I like the way what Kansas City has done with this kid. And I like what Aaron Rodgers when he was at Brett Favre. Right. He sat around for a few years learning the ropes. That, if you're going to draft a quarterback nowadays, there's no way you throw him in there and expect the next thing you know. Look what's going on in Cleveland. They drafted a kid from Notre Dame 2 years ago. They've already given up on him. He's gone.
Yeah. Kizer.
Yeah, Kizer.
Yeah, exactly. DeShone Kizer.
Unbelievable.
He's been drafted. So it is crazy when you take a look at it from that perspective. And also, of course, today, though, Pels and Spurs, 3.5-point favorite are your Pelicans. And I love that. I got a little pumped up today. If you look at Pelicans.com, Jason, they have their own hype video. Can you not like a hype video, right?
First round.
To be able to make it to this point is a gratifying feeling, but we still have a job to do, and we got one more game left.
The season's not over. I feel like we all feel like we got more to do.
It is. It's another game. You know, we play 81, but it's 82 games in the season, so we got to go out and take care of business on our home floor.
And then here come the highlights. Mr. 4K, a couple of dunks, a couple of threes. Rajon Rondo driving to the basket. Little alley-oop. And then some highlights against the Spurs. I'm pumped. I love it. I mean, I'm excited. A team is in the postseason, and you want to see a team. You know, in the postseason at its highest level in a profession. So 2011, the last time football, basketball in the same season were postseason teams.
Well, isn't it where I think if they win, they still have an opportunity to be what, a fourth seed? Can they go as high to the fourth
that
seed?
That was going into yesterday. That was the case. The problem was Utah won yesterday.
Oh, they did? Okay.
So since Utah won yesterday, we'll break this down and we'll take the quick break. It will touch a little bit on the draft as you are here with us. Coming up later today, Bryant Johnson, by the way, 12:45. Nichols won yesterday against Alcorn State. They play again today. We'll talk to him about the curls on the diamond. 1:30, Sharif Eishak will touch on LSU and also his take on the Pels. A shoot-around already just took place this morning. 2:05, Daniel Salerson. He is the pregame, halftime, postgame host on the Pels Radio Network. You can hear Pels Spurs tonight on ESPN New Orleans at 2:30. The Graph, another one-run game between Tulane and UNO in baseball. It's nuts this year. It was 8-7 UNO in game one. I think it was 3-2 UNO over Tulane in game two, and yesterday it was 4-3. So all three games this year by those two teams were one-run games, so we'll touch with him on that. They got spring game coming up. Nichols had their spring game a couple weekends ago. LSU next weekend's their spring game, so we'll touch a little bit on that with him. But here's how the seeds go, John. I know it can get confusing because the standings are that close, right? But Utah winning yesterday eliminates the Pels from any shot at getting the fourth seed. So that's gone by the wayside. The Pels, however, can be fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth. All right? So it's simple. I will go through it with you. To get the fifth seed, Pelicans beat the Spurs and Grizzlies beat the Thunder, or Jazz beat Trailblazers. Get that? So you need a loss by the Thunder and Blazers and a win by the Pels. You're the fifth seed. To get the sixth seed, which I think a lot of people want, John, because Portland's the three.
Right.
Utah's the four, and it's 3-6. Mm-hmm. Right now, Pels play Utah. If you can slip to, I would say slip, but if you can get to six, I don't know. And I don't know if it's a good matchup. Look, they're all going to be tough. Mm-hmm. But I think most Pels fans yesterday when we asked, what matchup would you prefer? A lot of people thought Portland. Either place is going to be tough and difficult to play. To get the sixth seed, Pelicans beat the Spurs. Thunder beat the Grizzlies. Portland beat the Jazz. Now remember, to get five, Jazz beat the Trailblazers. So if the Trailblazers beat the Jazz, again, Pels need a win.
Right.
They're six. To get the seventh seed, Spurs beat the Pelicans. Grizzlies beat the Thunder. To get the 8 seed, Spurs beat the Pelicans. Thunder beat the Grizzlies. Bottom line, at the end of the game today, somebody will tweet or find out who they're playing. The NBA will tell the Pels. And it's probably going to be a little later than that because, again, you have some games, Portland and Utah.
West Coast.
Exactly. So how about this? Tomorrow morning when you wake up, you know exactly who the Pels
are. If you're up really late tonight or into the morning,
exactly.
You'll know.
It's unreal, but it's great because it goes down to the last thing. Remember the NFL a couple of years ago tried to make it exciting because you had teams sitting down their star players in the last couple of weeks to save them for the postseason. It's what the NFL did. You remember a couple of years ago?
I remember that. Had an issue
they went, okay, no problem. From now on, they're division games. The last 3 weeks are going to be division games. So they're going to matter. They're going, and they have.
Right.
I mean, even though it was Saints, Bucks, but the one before that, Carol, I mean, they mattered. They matter for positioning. They matter if you were going to host in the postseason. They mattered. That's not the case here in terms of where the scheduling is, but what's great about it is the last, I would say, three games for all of these teams have been against teams inside 1 through 10.
Right.
So you have to win. You have to play, and that's the best case scenario for the NBA. I mean, it is absolutely must-watch last night and tonight, the last game.
And real quick, I know we got a break.
Yeah.
Minnesota and Denver, that's going to be the game. The winner's in, the loser's out.
And either of those teams are good, and they've spanked the Pels this year. I mean, that's what I'm getting at. You look at the West, it is absolutely unbelievable. I put in the request. Don't know if we can get them. It's going to be a little hard with them traveling and practice in our time slot with them and they're practicing. But we're going to try to get Coach Gentry on this week before they head on out. Because I think the job that he's done has been remarkable.
It has been.
I mean, you know, you've talked a little bit about it, playing playoff-type ball to get to the playoffs. Normally that's a week or two, maybe a month in football world. I mean, maybe. But my goodness, to have to do it that long for basketball? They've been doing it for about a month and a half.
Yes.
Quick break. We'll come back. We'll touch on how players are evaluated and the success rate of quarterbacks. John Forkett in the studio for another quick segment. Brian Johnson, Sharif Ashak, Daniel Salerson, and Todd Graffanini, your guests. This is the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans. Hour one brought you. Welcome back. Hour number one brought to you by the King Firm. Don't play the game of claims with insurance companies if you've been injured in an accident. Ring the King at 504-909-KING, KingInjuryFirm.com. As always, hour one brought to you by those folks. Personal injury, maritime, offshore, mass tort, workers' comp. That's what they specialize in. They will take care of you. John Forkett in studio with us here. Again, he's going to be part of our draft coverage coming up 2 weeks from tomorrow.
Yeah.
I mean, it's right around the corner, the draft. And it's interesting the amount of folks that are going back and forth on certain players and who you pick at the top, which the best quarterback. Obviously, you being a QB, we've touched on a lot on this during the regular season where we're doing the bottom line, our Saints postgame show from Buffalo Wild Wings. We're like, hey, you know, do the Saints go this year? Do they look or not for a quarterback? Well, yesterday, Lamar Jackson paid the team a visit. Nick Underhill of The Advocate, per source, saying they did pay a visit. Teams are permitted to host 30 prospects before the draft, so it's one of them. Saints offensive coordinator Pete Carmichael and quarterbacks coach Joe Lombardi were at Louisville's Pro Day, including Dennis Allen, who was doing, I think, or was it Aaron Glenn, the cornerbacks coach. No, it was Dennis Allen was running the secondary drills and things like that. Anyway, they were there for it. So Sean Payton last month talked pretty highly about Lamar Jackson. He liked him a lot. We talked this week about him not having an agent, John, mm-hmm. and on Friday as well last week, and how that might have hurt him, may not hurt him, things of that nature. Your thoughts on Lamar Jackson? Could he be a fit for this team or not? Is it intriguing when you maybe sort of look at the possibilities of a quarterback that's mobile,
mm-hmm.
but folks tend to forget he threw for 9,000 yards, rushed for 3, and has a high level of touchdown passes. He's not a running quarterback. He has the ability to run. The guy can throw.
Well, the only drawback that people are saying in regards to Lamar Jackson, the fact that when he went up against the stiffer competition,
right.
he looked bad. And that was LSU 1 year, and I believe Mississippi State the following year. and I believe another team that was up there. But look, the ACC in my books isn't the greatest of defensive leagues in all of football. But look, he put numbers up there. That's really outstanding. I think he's a good quarterback. I think he's got a lot of work that needs to be worked on, his pass accuracy, his throwing. Mm-hmm. I think all the NFL guys have said the same thing in regards to his accuracy, his completion ratio. Overall, they know he can run. But the Saints have never really – I don't think Sean Payton is a quarterback coach slash caller of plays that wants a guy that's going to run around. Now, look at RG3. Didn't they say the same thing about him when he was coming out? Oh, man, he threw all this. He did all that. He can run the football. Well, he got the you-know-what beat out of him a couple of years that he did ran the football, that he was running the football. He got hurt a few times. So that leads to happen when you have a guy like this who's not a big, thick quarterback. Now, he's not thick. He's, you know, 6'3", 6'4", whatever he is in height, but he's a little thin. So, but can they develop him? Now, I don't know if the Saints want to waste a number one draft pick on a quarterback.
See, it's funny you say that, because that's something that Brian and I talked about, and you're of that category. You know, and look, there are a lot of fans that would feel the term that you just used, wasted a draft pick. Is it a waste if you find a starter at some point? Because how many fans probably thought Ryan Ramczyk was a waste in the first round?
Different position.
Okay, so
it's we're talking position wise. Quarterbacks usually don't step into the NFL and start right off the back. A rookie offensive lineman.
You're going to need one at one point, though.
A cornerback can. Yeah, well, you know, you could, you know, I can go, I can say this much. Mason Randolph or Rudolph, mm-hmm. the kid from Oklahoma State.
Yep.
He's the steal of the draft. Anybody get that kid could play. I've watched him. I've seen him. I've watched games of him. I think he's better than a bunch of guys who are up there.
I saw a report the Saints.
I really believe that.
With him as well.
But my take is, when you get defensive tackles, defensive end, pass rushers, cornerbacks, they play a little bit more snaps than quarterbacks that deal a lot with on a certain situation on what side of the football. You got a backup quarterback. He's not going to play for 2 years. Granted, right. You got to have a backup quarterback. We all know that. But you can get a veteran guy right now to come in to be a backup to Drew Brees. Drew Brees has lucked out and played as long as he has and hasn't missed much. Do you want that? The Saints are at the point right now, Gus. It's only within a couple of years for them to win a Super Bowl, because I don't see them going with a new quarterback and all of a sudden, bingo, they're winning a Super Bowl. With Drew Brees, the next 2 years, they have a great opportunity. They need to build this team before they get another quarterback.
Here's the thing. Those are all valid points. I guess I just look at it as preparing for the future in this aspect of it. Carson Wentz help the Eagles get to a record that got them their first-round pick. Now, obviously, got hurt later.
Right.
And Foles won the Super Bowl for him with this play. Jared Goff got the Rams.
Yeah, to the first year.
I hear you. But right. My point is, he got it there. And there were young QBs. And they were helped. Whoever steps in after Drew Brees is going to have Michael Thomas probably in his fourth or fifth season. Alvin mm-hmm. Kamara in his probably third season, or maybe fourth. Depends how long Drew goes. A defense that's young now, Lattimore, third, fourth season, right? I mean, you look at Marcus Williams, third, fourth season. Anzalone, third, fourth season. Rankin, fifth season. He's not going to have to do much in terms of taking it on his own. You get what I'm getting at? That guy is essentially going to have a pretty solid team. And I guess what I'm saying is, while your point's valid, and I think mine is in terms of at some point you're going to need the quarterback.
There's no doubt.
When yep. is the perfect time? There really no isn't a perfect time,
well,
right?
Well, my question to you, I'm going to throw it back at you then.
Yeah.
Because why draft one in the first round? Mm-hmm. There's a guy who's played in, I believe, 7 Super Bowls.
Right. But that is that went, the norm, Tom Brady?
Well,
I know
up,
a lot of people like to use
it. There's other quarterbacks that were not drafted number one that played in the Super Bowl. And or, you know, 1 Super Bowl, 2 Super Bowls, whatever it may be. You don't necessarily have to have that number one draft pick. Has to be a quarterback. He sits around for a few years. Second round pick, third round pick, some guys might fall in there. There's other quarterbacks in the draft. And you know as well as there's no guarantee that I go draft the number one quarterback on the first round and he's a bust.
Mm-hmm.
He sits around for a couple of years and all of a sudden he does get his opportunity and he's a bust. Well, guess what you have just done? Wasted a first-round pick on a guy. Prime example, look what happened in Minnesota. Bridgewater, even though he got hurt, He's no longer there. He's going to New York. I think the Jets draft a quarterback because, you know, so there's no guarantees with quarterbacks. There's more guarantees.
You're absolutely
right. There's more guarantees. They'll take a more chance on a defensive tackle, a pass rusher, a DB receiver. They'll give those guys more opportunities and chances than a quarterback. And I agree. The Saints need to draft quarterback. When will it be? What round will it be? Do you go the first round? I think they can get a guy in the second or third round, or somebody might fall. Jackson might fall down in the second round.
Mm-hmm.
That's a strong possibility. Randolph, I'm telling you, the kid from Oklahoma State's a player. I like him a lot.
It'll be interesting to see where it goes exactly. Look, so I found the stat in the article. It's a two-part thing on ESPN.com about the difficulties of finding your quarterback. And that's why I guess I should preface it by this. If you think Sean Payton, if you think that one of those guys that's available in this first round is a guy that you think will be your next starting quarterback, then you go do it. Mm-hmm. Because we've asked this a couple times already, and I'll ask you, are the Saints a playoff team going into this year?
Yes, they are. I mean, okay. We all know that.
So they had about, 19, 20 players on IR, and about 10 Correct. Or 11 were starters?
Remember that, yep.
Give me half of those. Remember, yes, we talked about
this. We did talk about big
Give
time.
Me half of those. Are they a Super Bowl contending team now?
Oh, they were a Super Bowl contending team last year.
So what time better than now to take a chance on a guy that's not going to play for you maybe right now immediately, to your point?
Right.
If he's a corner, if he's an edge pass rusher, if he's a receiver, all of those guys right now in the first round can be people that would, you know, take snaps immediately right now, right?
Yeah. But
I
see what
to your point, though, it's true. I mean, all those guys right now would absolutely take steps, and it would help. You know, people were saying, okay, Saints wanted Patrick Mahomes, but Kansas City jumped them and took them, so they went with Lattimore. And I know the argument's been, well, imagine if they didn't have Lattimore this year. I hear you. But if you think like that and you go around thinking like that, man, you're always going to be handcuffed, I guess.
Right.
You know?
It's, you know, whoever you pick is what you're going to pick. You can't sit there and say, well, you know, we wanted, you know, Mahomes, or we wanted this guy or this and that. You know, you got to go get what you get. You got to believe what you believe. And if it is a quarterback that you think you got to have, go get him. You know, you don't have to explain to anybody. You go get the quarterback. If it's not, and you say, we'll go wait the second, third round. We got other quarterbacks.
Well, you've done some help in free agency.
Right.
Okay?
I see that.
So you've done some help. You add a little depth to corner, add a little depth to safety, add a little depth, maybe even a starter looks like, right, at linebacker.
All right.
Still need to find that edge pass rusher. You brought back Okafor. I get that. Ben Watson's a bridge for a tight end I think they will draft. I mean, it's a one-year deal. You can see that. They're trying to get a receiver. We'll find out today, probably by the end of the show. Cameron Meredith of the Bears. Will Chicago match? So they are sort of helping certain areas and filling in. And that's what I'm saying. When you look at that, I think one thing you and I can definitely agree on, because I don't think either side's wrong, right? Obviously, you want that first round pick to come in and help you immediately. But if you can find the starter, you do that. Bottom line, I think we'll agree on this, though. The Saints have opened the door to them to have options to move up.
They do.
To go back down in the second round, maybe add a couple of second round picks by getting out of the first round, or by just drafting the best player at 27. I mean, they have a lot of options. I know when you and I do this show here, coming up on the 26th, I'm going to be very interested to see where it goes. I would not be shocked if the Saints move up and go get a quarterback, because that's the only person they're going to go get.
Right. Anybody's in a bottom, even the Patriots, all those guys at the bottom of the drafting order, they're not sitting around there going to draft a quarterback. If they want a quarterback, they're going to have to move up to get the top four.
New England now has two first-round picks, two second-round picks. A lot of people feel they're going to be packaging deals to move up and go get their quarterback of the future. That's just dumb to me, because you had Garoppolo.
Right.
Yeah. That's wasting draft picks. You wouldn't have to be doing that.
You know, I can't question anything that New England does with Belichick.
No,
where have
they
been the last, you know, 4 or 5 years?
I hear you. I will see you on Thursday, April
26th. Yes, we will, my friend.
Mr. John Forte.
Jason, always a pleasure seeing you, my brother.
Have fun. We'll come back. Brian Johnson in a segment and a half. Up next, we'll touch on a little more on the game tonight, Pels and Spurs. Some of the other things going around in the NBA here as well. And top stories. What are you doing, Glenn Big Baby Davis? What is wrong with... You can tweet at us at ESPN Radio NOLA or at GCAT underscore 17. David says, finally, someone's on the Sports Hangover Show and making sense. No quarterbacks first round for the Saints. Listen to John. I've been saying this for weeks. Now listen to him, Gus. We're a playoff team, Super Bowl caliber team for the next 2 years. I hear you. I'm not disagreeing with you. What I'm saying, though, isn't that then probably the best time to go get a quarterback? There's never going to be a great time to go get a quarterback, is there? To me, this probably is. If you're a playoff team, if you're a Super Bowl team, this is probably the time to go do it. Because if you're a playoff team and a Super Bowl team, you're pretty good. And I understand, David, what you're saying. I understand what John's saying. That if you are then go get that one difference maker, that one added piece to the puzzle that will help you push over the top and go get that Super Bowl win. Fine. I get it. Not disagreeing with it. I'm just telling you, though, what your head coach did last year. Your head coach went with Marshawn Lattimore because Patrick Mahomes was taken. No one asked him about it. He came out after the Lattimore pick and said, we really liked Patrick Mahomes. And then Kansas City got him. And he went on and on about Patrick Mahomes. They were going to draft Patrick Mahomes. And they had Drew Brees. And I'm sure Sean Payton probably thought they were a team that could maybe make a case to be a postseason team this year. In the last 2 years, I mean, Mickey Loomis at the owners' meetings, right? We've been in the business of looking at quarterbacks. They've been doing that for the last 2 to 3 years, whether it's Paxton Lynch. And again, it could just be doing their due diligence and their homeworks. All I'm saying, David, is last year, your head coach was about to draft a quarterback. And they were not closer at that point, I thought, right? Clearly, to a playoff, much less a Super Bowl, than they were later in the year. And they were and got closer because, to your point, of Lattimore, of Ramchek, of Kamara, and all those picks. When you move up, you don't have all those picks. Kansas City, that first last year. So two firsts and a third. You had to give up picks to move up. The Saints will have to give up a hefty price to move up if they want any of those coveted quarterbacks. Lamar Jackson, I think you can have him in the teens, but you still have to give up picks. So if you can argue the case, those picks can then be used by players that can help us right now. You're absolutely right. What I'm saying, though, is you can't forget the players that you had hurt last year. Now, again, you're knocking on wood that it won't happen again. Are you going to have injuries this year? Sure you are. You're going to lose a starter or two. You're going to lose some key players for a game, maybe even more. You'll probably have a season-ending injury. I mean, that's reality every year. But you probably don't think you're going to have 20. And again, give me half of those. Say you have 10. Give me 5 of those 10 that were starters back. I'm a stronger team already. And you look at the additions in free agency. You added depth at linebacker, if not a starter. You added depth. Pretty much your nickel corner and P-Rob coming back. Coleman and starter, I mean, the safety. Anzalone's going to come back. I mean, Okafor, if he comes back from injury, even though Sean Payton said, look, it's still a must. I mean, they're going to look for an edge rusher. That's happening. So, like I said, it's not a wrong take to look at it that way. I'm just saying I could see it happening. Look, they're looking at this draft, the draft experts, and they're comparing it to those years where they had that many quarterbacks going into it. Now, a lot of it's necessity and need. You look at some of the teams in the top of this draft, they need a quarterback right now, today, pronto. Arizona need a quarterback. The Jets need a quarterback. I mean, Eli Manning got benched. The Giants probably could use a quarterback here in the future, right? Browns, sorry, Joey, still looking for a quarterback. Even though, look, I love what Hugh Jackson said, right? Tyrod Taylor's our starter this year. Whoever we draft's not starting this year. So I get that. My only case and argument is, if not now, is there a better time? Not when, because you can make the case and argument, you can wait a year or two and all that. That's fine. But if not now, what would be a better time? You are a playoff team. No doubt. You are a Super Bowl caliber team. Okay. Minnesota's pretty good. Rams are pretty good. Eagles are going to be good again. Your division had three teams make the postseason. Now, again, I could be making David's point and John's point. Well, because of those teams being that good, you need somebody that can help you right now. You need somebody that can come in and take snaps for you right now. Go sack the quarterback. Catch a touchdown pass. Maybe play corner. You need that now. Not disagreeing with you. I'm just looking at what this team is sort of doing. And when you hear Sean Payton talk about Lamar Jackson and then bringing him in, and they're looking at Mason Rudolph as well. And again, you should do your due diligence because you don't know how it's going to go. Problem is, you're at 27. You're going to have to move up. And to move up, you're going to have to use some of those eight draft picks you have. I still think, regardless, they're going to use some of those eight draft picks, try to get into that second round. Maybe they get a quarterback that's not a first-round quarterback. And I think a lot of fans wouldn't have a problem with that. I'll say this. It'll be very interesting on a 26, man. David, come on out and hang out with us, dude. Come to Dave and Buster's. We'll give you a mic. We'll let you chime in. Pepito, maybe we'll just turn it up really loud, too. If they do draft a quarterback, he can just yell. We'll just give him the mic. Speaking of yelling, I'm going to play a highlight here.
Of just straight up yelling?
No, top of next hour, a soccer game that was pretty big.
Oh, yeah.
The Roma?
Roma, yeah.
Play-by-play guy in an upset of Barcelona yesterday.
The Champions League, yeah.
Yeah. His call, Graf is jealous of that call.
Let's just say a lot of Mamma Mia's.
Yeah, I mean, literally, you would think the Roman play-by-play guy would throw in a Mamma Mia.
It's exactly what you expect.
He absolutely threw in some Mamma Mia's. Anyway, keep them in. Thanks, David, for chiming in. Dak Prescott, blessed Scott. There we go. Not the Dallas quarterback. I get where you're coming from, Gus. Most Saints fans think Drew is going to be under center 10 more years. Just kick the can down the road. At some point, you got to pull the trigger. It's going to be a very interesting draft. It really is. But bottom line, Lamar Jackson visited the Saints yesterday, for whatever that is worth. Sports Hangover brought to you by the King Firm at hour number one. Brian Johnson's up next. Talk a little Colonel's. Brian Johnson, voice of the Colonels, can be followed on Twitter, BrianJohnson1. Sure, he was excited last night as he saw an offensive onslaught by the Colonels. Now 12-21 on the season, 13-6 to win over an Alcorn State team. Brian, how are you, man?
Back-to-back wins, a lot of home runs, and we got to play for about 6 hours on Sunday. So it's been a beautiful time to be a Colonel baseball fan.
There you go. Alcorn State 2 is kind of interesting in that you're playing two games, almost like a mini-series in midweek, huh?
Coach Thibodeau does not like off weeks. He doesn't like off days, and we all laugh because the last midweek off day the Colonels had was 4 weeks ago, and they had their longest practice of the year. They had a four-hour marathon practice. So, you know, you don't spend all winter and summer and fall in Colonel country waiting for baseball just to take midweek days off. Bring Alcorn in for a couple games. Flew to Tucson 2 weeks ago for the midweek off series in the Southland Conference and got to play three games over there for a weekend series. And then you take your casual 500-mile bus ride at 7 in the morning tomorrow to San Antonio for three games at Incarnate Word. Hey, 60 games of fun, right, baby. Make the most of it.
One of the things that that I guess someone is making the most of it, too, you're getting a lot of performance, obviously, from the upperclassmen. I know the last time we talked about this and when we had Coach on, it is Kyle, it is Brady, it's a couple of other upperclassmen as well, but for the most part, they've been kind of leading the way.
Yeah, it's a really likable team, and it's obviously not the start they wanted in February and into early March, but to end Sam Houston State's 11-game Southland Conference winning streak and to do it with your Sunday starter, to do it with a junior. Joey Morales was recognized yesterday. He was given an autograph ball. All of his teammates signed it. He's now the all-time record holder for most starts in a Colonel career. He's just under 200 career starts. And to plug that man in as a true freshman at shortstop and to now watch his growth over 4 years, this is why they're starting to kind of hit their stride in mid-April, because you've had veterans that have said, hey, I'll lead, I'll follow, let's go freshman, your time is now. And you've got guys like Zane Washington as a true freshman that are putting together their best two-week stretch of their young college careers. Dane Simon goes out last week at LSU and gets three hits in his first three at-bats as a true freshman. Jake Badavian, first year, he goes 8 1/3 to get that win against Sam Houston State. Brady Bell, first year with the team, he hits a big home run last night to kind of change the complexion of the game. So it's all the credit to the seniors. They're the ones that have put this team in a position to win games. But now you're getting the freshmen and first-year players to understand what they're here to do, and now they're stepping up.
One of the things that stands out, obviously, look, you're starting to see this team sort of take shape and maybe make a little run here and play a little bit better baseball, like you're saying, but going to have to start winning away, right? 1-7 so far away from Thibodeau. And when you look at 5 of the next 7, the next 2 series, really, on the weekends, you do have Southeastern once in Thibodeau, but you start that series 2 in Hammond. But 5 of the next 7 on the road, so you're going to have to start winning some games away.
Yeah, and 4 of your last 6 series are against playoff teams. Every year it comes down to New Orleans and Central Arkansas in the last 2 weekends of the year to determine playoff fate for all of those programs. And it'll be the same story again this year. I know that we'll be sitting here on May 19th for the finale in Thibodeau against UCA, and the playoff implications will be dramatic. It's been the same story 2 years in a row. You have to start stealing games on the road. And you've got a couple series in between to close April and to start May against Lamar and SFA, and they have been 2 of the worst teams in the conference. But it doesn't matter. The Southland has put together a strong season 3 straight years in a row with multi-bid NCAA tournament teams, because it is a little top-heavy, but everybody has shown an ability to steal a game during the course of a series. You can't go to San Antonio hoping to get one. They have been the surprise story of the entire season in this conference. They went 8-22 last year. Well, they're 8-4 this year.
Wow.
And 22-12 on the year. So to have to go and play Incarnate Word under those circumstances, it's not what you expected when the schedule came out preseason and you thought, okay, here's your opportunity to win a series against a program that historically has struggled. Not the case in 2018.
Does that make tonight's game a little more important then?
Yeah, just because February and March were filled with high major top 50 RPI games, so you have a lopsided loss to start the year that kind of carried into that 2-11 open. It's changed because of midweek wins. To do it against Purdue, to beat Mississippi State, now to come back and blow out Arkansas Pine Bluff and Alcorn in your last 2 midweek games. Sweep it tonight, take care of business at home, get on that bus ride at 7 in the morning tomorrow and be prepared to win a road series with a rotation that's now solidified. This is a team that was in flux really until 3 weeks ago. They have Kyle Slayton back. He is a hard-throwing righty from Holy Cross High School, grew up on the West Bank, and has been a jolt of energy for a bullpen that's been beleaguered. Coach Thibodeau feels like he finally has the team that he projected in fall ball. Just a lot of lingering injuries and some issues in constructing this lineup game in and game out. All of that's in the rearview mirror. They are peaking at a point where you've got the halfway point of this 2018 season. You flip the script to the second half of the year, and now you're approaching the midway point of the Southland Conference schedule. Perfect time for Dirty Red Baseball to get hot.
6 p.m. is the first pitch today. Alcorn and Nichols. As always, you can follow Brian Johnson, the voice of the Colonels, right here on Twitter, at Brian Johnson 1. You can hear the games on ESPN New Orleans as well. Bryant, always a pleasure, my friend, and good luck this weekend. We'll catch the games here on ESPN New Orleans.
Appreciate it, Gus. Thank you so much.
Yep, for sure. One of the things, obviously, when you take a look at where the baseball seasons are, again, LSU yesterday getting a 2-0 win over Louisiana Tech. I think a nice little pitching performance there from a freshman. And Tulane getting a one-run win. You get that sense and feel, right? You can make runs. And I know when you listen to Matt Moscone after further review as well, for a lot of Tiger fans that are worried what kind of LSU team you're going to have. And I went through Luke Johnson, if you remember, back on Monday. He went back to the Paul Menary era and went through all the what the SEC records of the LSU teams were at this point over the last 10 years. In 2007, 4-7-1. In 2008, 5-7, College World Series at the end of the year. 2008, they were 8-4, College World Series at the end of the year. 2010, 8-4, 2011, 3-9, 2012, 8-4, 2013, 11-1, College World Series. 2014, 6-5-1. 2014, the SEC record was 8-4 in 2015, College World Series. 2016, they were 6-6. 2017, 7-5, College World Series. 2018, 6-6. So this is around the time where you can, even if you don't look like you can be a team that can get to the regionals, or maybe you don't have the double-digit wins just yet, but you can make a run enough to, you're playing good baseball into the conference tournament, and it can help you there. Remember, you win a conference tournament, you're in. So these games matter now, and it's a little closer now. You don't have much of the season really to go. And this is when you want to start playing your best baseball. So definitely keep an eye on the college baseball here in and around the area. The graph at 2:30 to touch on Tulane's win yesterday. He wants to talk a little Pels too as we get into it. Sharif Eishak coming up in hour two as we'll touch on LSU and the Pels. Daniel Salerson will give us a preview of the Pels and the Spurs. It's the Sports Hangover on ESPN New Orleans Hour 1, brought to you by The King Firm.